We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
I'm reading a few verses from the 7th chapter of the Gospel of John. Then said the Jews among themselves, "Whither will he go, and we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he saith, Ye shall seek me and shall not find me? And where I am, thither ye cannot come. What manner of saying is that?" That's the words of a man or a person who has a supernatural slant. Those words didn't come from the lips of somebody that was a mere human being. Those are the words that belong to the lips of the Son of God. That couldn't mean anything else. He said, "What manner of man is this? What sort of saying is this he's saying? We can't quite fathom it." In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they who that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Now, when you believe on him as he is, he goes back to the Father's house, and on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came. They were there waiting for the fulfillment. And out through them went the water of life, the power of the Holy Ghost, to quench the thirst of a hungry, sinful world. Now, I want you to know these words. "Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is a prophet, the prophet. Others said, this is a Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Have not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was?" So there was a division among the people because of him. I want you to notice it. What's that? You say, a division among the people because of him? Well, he wasn't responsible for it. But it was because of him this division came about. He has always produced division. Now, wait a minute. He came to give peace to the individual. He came to give a sword to the world. There's just one issue. What will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? What are you going to do with him? Now, wait a minute. Don't fool yourself. Jesus Christ said something about setting variance to the Father, the Son, and the Friend, the Friend. You ever think about that? You talk about trouble, see? All the troubles of the world have come about for the last 2,000 years because Jesus Christ was not given his proper place in this world. And he doesn't have his proper place today any more than he had when he was here. We are more tolerant. We don't take Christians out and burn them in the States, not in America. We don't do that in England, but we persecute them. The man that stands four square for Jesus Christ and insists on his having a preeminent place is persecuted. You can't even stand up like we stand up for Jesus Christ on this radio here and insist that he had the preeminent place, Christ first, not a program first, not a machine first, not an organization first, but Jesus Christ first, and keep on keeping on giving that emphasis. But what you have people say, he's fighting the church, he's doing this, he's doing that, he's doing the other. You are not doing anything of the kind. All on earth you're doing is doing what you're told to do in the Scripture. And what the Father wants his Son to have, and that's the preeminent place. Now, it's a strange thing when you think about it. You would think that everybody would see it. You'd think everybody would understand it. But I look back over my life. It took me a long time to come through that twilight zone where I saw all this thing and saw the perils that were threatening us and the conditions here. Now, for instance, here's a crowd that you can't get them together. Now, here's a crowd. Some said he's a prophet. And some said, well, who else is it? Some said something else, you know. They said all sorts of things about it. And they divided it among themselves. Now, you talk about the division between Orthodox and modernists, Orthodox Christians and modernist Christians today. Well, now, they don't have the same viewpoint of Jesus Christ. The modernist says it doesn't matter whether he's born of a virgin or not. The modernist says that probably he was, probably wasn't more so. And they come along and say there's no virgin, the vicarious blood atonement, that Jesus Christ died like the martyrs died. And you can't believe what the Bible says in all particulars. Anyhow, a lot of myths in it. I saw in the paper where the overwhelming majority of all the young preachers studying for the ministry in the seminaries of this country believe that much of the Bible's myth. I saw the percentage. I can't give you the exact figures. I have those figures somewhere. I was startled myself. I keep pretty well up with what's going on, but I was astonished that such a large percentage of them, or nearly all of them, said that they thought there were many things in the Bible that were myths, you know. Well, now, you can't get these people together. Now, wait a minute. When they ask you to come along and go along with them, and doesn't matter what you think of Jesus, I can think this and you can think that, and there'll be no division. They are asking you to sell out, see? They're going to ask you to sell out. That's all. Now, if a person doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is a virgin-born Son of God, and doesn't believe that Jesus Christ died a vicarious death on the cross and rose from the dead, and doesn't believe that salvation is by grace through faith in the atoning blood of Christ, and doesn't believe the Bible is the Word of God, that person is not a born-again Christian. Now, let's understand that. Jesus Christ has the first place in the plan of salvation, and no one else can save except Jesus. And when you come up and you don't know whether you're joining the church or accepting Christ or just exactly what you're doing, scrambling together three or four things in one, you are breaking down that something in people that makes them go through the mist and the darkness and don't know where they are. There's only one issue as far as salvation is concerned now. Let's get this clear. There's just one issue. What will you do with Jesus Christ? That's the issue. There's no other issue. Now, there's no other issue about salvation. Now, then, you can argue that if a man accepts Christ, he will do so-and-so. And I agree with you about that. And I'm not discounting anything that you ask of him that's reasonable. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the awful, terrible condition that's facing us today when Jesus Christ and all these things are being scrambled together and mixed up in such a way that you don't know what you're talking about. Now, that's a tragedy of our day, and it's spreading over the world, and it's in line with the Bible, that in the last days, perilous times shall come, men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, proud, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, truce-breakers, heady, high-minded, having a form of godliness, more churchianity, more of all that than ever before, without the power of it. Now, there's no power in any religion, spiritual power, that doesn't give the preeminent place to Jesus Christ. That may be the influence there. They may have influence to reach out. Now, Bob Jones University, we've made up our mind anew. God helping us. We're going to keep Jesus Christ above the laboratory, above the library, above art and music and speech. We're going to exalt him here as we've never done before. God helping us. That's our responsibility this day and night. And when people are trying to sell a program to you, or sell a machine to you, or sell an organization to you, we're going to insist over and over and over again that our business in this world is to exalt Christ and beg people to accept Jesus Christ. Then when they accept him, they'll know who he is. When they're genuinely born again people, they'll know who he is. And there is no real division among all the Orthodox evangelical Christians who give Jesus Christ a preeminent place. Now, they may differ about some things. They may be pre-rapture, premillennialists, or post-tribulation rapture, premillennialists, or they may be post-millennialists, or may even be amillennialists. They may not agree about some things. They may not agree about the security of the believer, or they may not believe about the possibility of apostasy. They may disagree about some things. But when Jesus Christ has the supreme place, every born-again, spiritual-minded Christian, in his heart, is responsive to that thing. And that's the only gathering place we can have. Men are going to differ in their heads, but we can be one in Christ, not one in a church. Get that straight. Never said that one time. One in Christ. That's where we are. In Christ. He's the head. The body of Christ saved people's body. The head's supposed to be supreme. The head controls the body. If something's wrong with my foot, if it hurts me, my foot says to my head, something wrong, what to do about it? It doesn't say, let's call on the body to fix it. Calls on the head to give orders, and the head says, well, see a doctor about it, and sends back down there, better go do something about it. And Jesus Christ is the head of the body. He's at the head of the thing. And when Jesus Christ, if you don't see the head, and he doesn't have a supreme place, you are going to have a dead church and a dead religion. And I don't care how many churches you build and how many steeples you erect and how many pipe organs, how many schools and universities and colleges and seminaries, you're going to get worse and worse and deader if it's possible to get deader and deader. And that's the trend of our day. Now, men and women, friends of Jesus Christ, saints that are trusting Christ, people who came to him, lost sinners and know he's able to save, I'm calling your attention to something. not for the exaltation of myself or Bob Jones University or anything like that. I'm calling your attention to something tremendously important, and that's the exaltation of Jesus Christ. Now, let me say to you, if we don't get back there, we're gone. And little by little, we've gone crazy on efficiency. We've gone crazy on organization. We've gone crazy on machinery. Now, here was a divided crowd. You know why they were divided? They didn't have the same slant on Jesus, that's all. You know why modernism and conservative and Christians don't work together? If they are really conservative Christians, they won't support a modernistic program. You won't support something that's against Jesus Christ if you were born again. Don't talk to me about it. You won't do it if you know it. If you know it. And they don't want you to know it because they want you to support these things. Now, wait a minute. They didn't agree. They were divided. One said one thing, one said no. Now, here's what I say. And this is what the Bible teaches. Jesus was virgin born. He was God manifest in the flesh. He lived among men. And when he was between 30 and 33, somewhere along in there, doesn't make any special difference by his age. That's probably somewhere correct. When he got along up there, he went to a cross and laid his life down. He said, no man takes it from me. They tried to kill him. They couldn't kill him. He said, I lay down my life. He laid down his life on the cross for you. See? Now, wait a minute. Then he rose the third day from the dead. He was seen of men and many witnesses, and he went back to heaven. He's up in the Father's right hand. He's up there as our intercessor, to plead our case, the case of all who trust him. He's coming again someday. I don't know when, but he's coming. All right. Now, no man can save himself, and no church can save you, and no church ordinance can save you. No church can partly save you. No ordinance can partly save you. No organization can partly save you. The only person in the universe of God that can save you is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's the only one. He said, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There's no other way to Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't like that, you don't like Jesus Christ. I don't care who you are. If you don't like that, you're just not for Jesus, that's all. There is salvation in no other name except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all. Now, I'm not talking about anything else. I'm not talking about baptism. I'm not talking about anything else. I'm talking about Jesus. Now, we don't want any division among us Christians about Jesus Christ. Let's get together on this one thing. That's all we ask of you. Then you go your way, I go my way. And we may not agree about some other thing, but we love the same Christ. We trust the same Christ. We work for the same Christ. We confess the same Christ. We hold up the same Christ. And there's no hope for this world anywhere else. All the churches combined can't save it. All the ordinances of all the churches combined can't save it. All the statesmen of the world can't save it. No federation of the world can save it. Nobody can save it but Jesus Christ. Praise God for such a Savior that's able to save unto the uttermost. And listen, the government must rest upon his shoulders, and there's no hope outside of him. Now, we've given it to you straight this morning. I'm not concerned about how any born-again spiritual Christian look at it. I know how you look at it. If you are right with God in your heart says amen. If your heart doesn't say amen, what I'm saying to you right now, you are lost, and you better get right with God, because they that love God love this message and love the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can't get away from what I'm saying to you. And God help you to search your heart and find out if Jesus Christ has the right place. Our Heavenly Father, help us to be yielded to him and dedicated to him and consecrated to him and be all out for the Son of God, and keep the Bob Jones University faithful to Jesus Christ, and keep the churches faithful, and the schools faithful, and the people faithful, and the homes faithful. Oh, Lord God, help us to be true to him in this dark day and uncertain day in which we live in. We pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.